The ancient Egyptians may have been the first to use fractional numbers around 1800 BC. And these days, some mathematicians still prefer fractions over decimals. But I think their argument is pointless. All right, all puns aside, fractions are more popular than ever these days in the world of investing. Today, Kingdom Advisors President Rob West talks about buying just a piece of a stock. It's called fractional investing. And we'll take your calls on anything financial, 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Buying fractional shares, that's next on MoneyWise Live. Okay, Rob, this might be a new topic for many of our listeners. Why is fractional investing becoming more popular these days?
Well, I think most of the attraction is because it allows you to invest without a lot of money. Shares of some stocks and ETFs or exchange-traded funds are so expensive that many investors can't afford or don't want to risk owning a whole share. So it's like enjoying pizza by the slice instead of having to buy the whole pie.
Okay, great analogy. Let's bite a little deeper into fractional shares. Is this really a new idea?
Yes, it is relatively new. Several apps now allow you to buy a piece of a share, and some major brokers are also moving into that space as well. But that wasn't always the case, Steve. In the past, you had to purchase at least one full share of a company. Well, that left out a lot of small investors. But now, with fractional investing, you can own part of a company or fund by purchasing as little as 1% of a share, or one one-hundredth.
Wow, okay. Give us an example.
Sure. Let's say you want to buy Amazon, and let's say it's selling for $3,000 a share, which, by the way, it has traded at that level. With fractional investing, you could own a piece of Amazon for just $30. What's happening is fractional brokers pool the money of thousands of small investors to buy shares of a given stock instead of those investors having to do it individually.
Okay, so now I own, let's say, just a tiny fraction of a given stock. Is that really the main selling point for fractional investing?
Well, it certainly allows you to own part of something you otherwise couldn't afford, but no, that's not the main selling point. Proponents of fractional investing will tell you that it's a great way to diversify your holdings with limited funds. It allows you to own a much greater variety of stocks and funds with the same amount of money that before. So you had to invest in a single company. So, for example, with just $1,000, you can invest in dozens of stocks or ETFs.
Okay. So what else should our listeners know before they jump into something like this?
Well, as we mentioned, there's now several apps you can download to do this, including Stash, Robinhood, and Acorns. We also mentioned larger brokerages. Fidelity and Schwab are also getting into the fractional investing game. Now, those are good options if you're specifically interested in owning part of a pricey stock like Amazon or Apple. They'll enable you to do that. But if you want to get a better return than banks can give on a small amount of money, I prefer Wealthfront or Betterment, both part of the FinTech movement. Both have great websites and smartphone apps.
Okay. Well, and again, this has been around for a while, but people just haven't heard about it. I would imagine maybe the internet has exposed more people to this this concept, and it's an easier way to do this kind of thing, huh?
Well, that's exactly right, Steve. I mean, there are wonderful resources out there for folks to explore this. You want to make sure you're ready to invest, though, before you move into this. It doesn't make much sense to put money into something like fractional shares if you have credit card debt. Any money you make will be dwarfed by what you're paying in interest on a credit card balance. So pay that off first. Also, if you want to have your emergency savings in place, I would recommend you do that first. We recommend, of course, 3 to 6 months living expenses and something like an online savings account to get the maximum interest rate. But even then, fractional investing shouldn't be your first choice. If employers offer a 401k retirement plan with matching contributions, I would absolutely contribute enough to that first. It's free money, of course. And once you've done that, it would be better to put any remaining funds into a traditional or a Roth IRA, because those are taxes disadvantaged. But to be fair, Fidelity now allows you to buy fractional shares within an IRA or even an HSA. That would be a health savings account. Huh. So you're going to want to check that out as well. So bottom line, this is a new trend in the investing world, something for you to check out and be aware of, especially if you have just a little bit of money to put to use in the stock market.
All right. And if you want to buy just a piece of pizza, Domino's and Papa John's are publicly traded companies. Just thought I'd throw that in. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
When it comes to investing guidance, you want advice grounded in God's Word. That's the approach offered by Sound Mind Investing. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire investing wisdom and confidence. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. A short video webinar on profit and peace of mind is available now at soundmindinvesting.org.
At my family's favorite ice cream chain, well, you know the one where you can choose your favorite ingredients and then they mix all those incredible flavors together right in front of you. Well, as they create your ice cream masterpiece, you can choose one of three sizes. The I really like it, or the small size, the I love it a lot, or the medium, and the I gotta have it, or, well, you guessed it, the large size. And as we order, my kids and I think we need the gotta have it size, and my wife says, come on, do you really need it? It got me thinking, though, about my relationship with God's Son. Do I like Him? Do I love Him? Or have I got to have Him? And maybe that's where you are right now. Your relationship with Jesus is just that. It's your relationship. Have you been holding back and just tasting Jesus? Or do you want to find out more by stepping out and saying, I've got to have you? To find out more about the life that Jesus has for you, call 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM. Or chat with us live at needhim.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Hey, today on MoneyWise Live, we're talking about, well, absolutely anything you want to talk about. So maybe it's a debt or giving or being generous. Maybe it's housing, education, some credit issues, how your saving is going or not going so well these days. Maybe finding a job. Give us a call. Whatever interests you interests us. And more than likely, 95% of the time, the Bible addresses it as well. And that's our starting point, of course. 800-525-7000. We have open lines. Be a good time to get in. 800-525-7000. Let's begin, Rob, by going to Manchester, New Jersey. And Andrea, what's on your mind?
Hi. Hi. I was just wondering, I wanted to invest in part of my 401k in gold. I'll be retiring soon, and I'm going to get a pension of $330, but my Social Security is going to be $1,650. I have a 401k of $121,000. And I'm going to continue working per diem. How much should I put into a gold for an IRA?
Yeah, specifically invested in gold. That's what you're asking about, Andrea?
Yeah, I'm in a safe one. I have $121,000 in a safe Fidelity IRA. And yeah. I can take some of that out and put it into, I wanted to put some of it in gold. I wanted to just put a little bit in. And then I heard you speaking once about fractional investing. Would that be another option?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about this. So I like this idea that you're thinking about taking your surplus and, you know, putting it away for the future. I think we got to make sure you have your financial foundation in place. So starting with this idea that you have a spending plan, you have a real accurate accounting of what comes in and goes out each month. You know what your fixed and discretionary expenses in, including those non-recurring expenses, and that you have a plan to control the flow of money in and out. With that margin, we then need to prioritize. And by margin, I mean excess above and beyond your bills on a monthly basis, including what you might be sticking aside for those quarterly or semi-annual or annual payments that come up. With the priority order of those funds, I would say make sure you're giving first. That's going to break the grip of money over your life. Beyond that, we want to make sure we've paid off your consumer debt, credit cards. We want to make sure that you have an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months expenses. And then once that's in place, I'd go back to paying down that consumer debt, if you have a car loan, anything else. Beyond that, want to make sure that you're taking advantage of the full matching inside a 401k and with a goal of trying to get up to 10 to 15% of your income going into long-term retirement savings. Beyond that, being able to continue to invest alongside what other goals you might have, short-term savings goals, additional giving goals, is a good thing. Now, if you had $100 a month beyond your 401k contributions to systematically put into investments, I wouldn't choose gold for that. You might say gold is more like insurance than an investment, and here's why. When people fear a currency collapse, a stock market collapse, they tend to buy gold. On the one hand, though, it's true that gold tends to rise when the dollar falls, the U.S. dollar, that is. But on the other hand, if the market takes a nosedive, gold doesn't always go up because we might see a collapse in demand as people are really struggling. So you have to look at gold is another asset class for diversifying your portfolio when it becomes large enough, because I would say for most people, 5% in gold is probably enough. It's a hedge against inflation and a falling dollar. But as a pure investment, Andrea, it really leaves a lot to be desired, mainly because of its volatility. It's prone to huge spikes and collapses. And when you just look at the general performance of the market versus gold over a long period of time, what you'll see is it doesn't perform quite as well as the broad market, the stock market, but it actually has more volatility, which means it has more risk. So what I would say is with that $100 a month, I'd rather see you go into a high quality mutual fund or exchange traded fund where you're capturing the big market indexes. So you're not trying to pick winners and losers, not trying to buy fractional shares or investing in gold or other precious metals or commodities. You're just capturing the long-term moves of the market, and make sure with that money, you're looking out at least 10 years. So where do you go with that? Well, I'd head over to our friends at soundmindinvesting.org to begin reading and learning. You'll find some ideas on some really high quality, no load mutual funds. And I'd like to do one other thing. If you'll stay on the line, let us send you a copy of Austin Pryor's book, The Sound Mind Investing Handbook. I think it'll give you a great leg up on everything you need to know on investing God's way.
Andrea, thank you very much. You stay on the line. We'll get that book right out to you. It makes for some great bedtime reading. At least that's where I do most of my heavy reading. Right. And that's a big book. It is heavy, by the way.
Yes. Steve, speaking of gold, I don't know if you've heard, but space mining of gold is, you know, supposedly the next frontier.
I've heard of MySpace. Does this have anything to do with MySpace?
No. Right. Apparently, the asteroid belt holds minerals worth, get this, a quintillion of dollars. And if they can figure out how to land some mining vehicles out there, well, gold may be as common as, I don't know, in a gravel parking lot or something like that.
Are you reading the National Enquirer again? When you go to the grocery store, you slow down at the line, don't you?
No, that's not my kind of reading, I promise.
Okay, space mining. That'll be our opening topic next week sometime. All right. East Moline, Illinois. Hey, Teresa, thanks for putting up with us. How can we help you?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I listen to you guys every day on my way home from work, and I keep saying, I'm going to call you guys. I'm going to call you. So I did
today. Well, I'm so glad you did. What made today the day, Teresa? It was just that question that was on your heart?
Well, that plus I work at a golf course, and it's 104 degrees today outside,
oh,
so we got off a little early.
Wow.
I like it. All right, how can we help you?
Okay, so here's my question. I'm 61 years old. I have a $100,000 life insurance policy that was taken out when our three kids were little. At 65, I won't have that anymore. It expires. I also have a $10,000 life insurance for the company I work with, but at 65, that also expires. So my question is, my insurance man would like for me to take out a whole life insurance plan, and you know, which pays back. But yeah, do I need that, you know, at 65? I mean, that's really expensive compared to, you know, to the term that I'm paying now.
Yeah. You know, I don't think you do. I mean, the starting point here, Teresa, is to ask the question, do I need insurance? Is there somebody depending upon me such that if the Lord were to call you home and your income goes away, that would create a hardship for somebody else that's either counting on your income, or they would have an increase in expenses, or they'd be left with a significant debt that they didn't have the resources to pay? And if the answer is no, then essentially you no longer have a need for the death benefit that was afforded to you through these life insurance policies, which is a good thing because you've been saving and you now have assets built up. You've got your income coming in retirement, probably through Social Security and maybe a 401k or what other vehicles you have. And really, if something were to happen to you, there's not a need for that life insurance to be paid out. Whole life insurance is combining that death benefit, which we've just said potentially you no longer need, but I want to hear from you on that, combining that with a savings vehicle. But it's a very expensive way to do it. You lose a lot of flexibility, and I'd rather you save outside of an insurance product. They pay a lot of high commissions, and so it's often sold rather than bought, if you know what I mean. And, you know, I think it's probably not the very best thing for you at this point. But you tell me, is there a need for life insurance at this point? Is somebody counting on your income?
No, I have three grown children, and they're all, you know, have their degrees, and they're doing their, you know, their own thing with their family. The only question I have about it is, you know, I've already you know, bought my cemetery plot. I've got the opening and the closing done, you know, and all that's paid for, the little plaque on front. But I, you know, I need to buy a casket or something. So they're asking, so, you know, the cemetery is asking me, you know, to come and start making payments on a casket.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to do that either at this point. So would that, if I had whole insurance, would that help pay for that? Or how does that work?
Well, I think the key here is as long as you do the plans in advance, and funerals.org would be a great way to do that to get some more information about what decisions need to be made. As long as you make those plans, you're going to have assets that would allow for whoever is going to be making those decisions and carrying your wishes out at that time. There's going to be resources there to take care of that. Now, one option if you want everything paid in advance, which is certainly a great way to go because it takes a lot of the you know, the extra burden out of an already difficult period of time where, you know, they're waiting to settle your estate, it's going through probate, there's not assets that are readily available, then you certainly could make some of that pre-planning decision-making and go ahead and start making payments to that. But, you know, you don't need a life insurance policy for that. It sounds like most of it has already been paid for, and what hasn't been paid for, you could go ahead and take care of in advance.
Teresa, thank you very much for calling. We have to hit a break here. Let me ask you a question. As far as golf is concerned, is Tiger going to win another big one? What do you think?
I don't know that. What do you guys think?
Well, no, you're the one who works on the course. We just meander around here on the radio. We don't know what we're talking about. Not when it comes to golf, anyway. But hey, Teresa, God bless. Thanks very much. Hey. Wear your sunblock. Drink plenty of water out there. 105 on the course.
You know, the big story in golf related to Tiger Woods is his son. He just won his second tournament the other day, I think.
I didn't know that.
Chip off the old block.
Wow. Impressive. Fascinating. 800-525-7000. Rob West is kind of like my dad. I'm Steve Moore. We'll be right back after this.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow.
but sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
And we know that in all things God is working for the good of those who are loving Him. There's nothing that stayed about our relationship with God. It didn't just start and then it's just stuck right there. God is ever working and He's called us into an ever-loving relationship. Almost across the board. And let me tell you, these commentators don't agree on much. So when I tell you that they agree on this, I feel like that's a pretty good indication that, we might be inclined to accept it. But almost across the board, commentators agree that this, for those who love God, is more of a description than a condition. Doesn't mean that because they love God, all things work together. What he's saying, that this is almost across the board, they're saying, he's simply saying that he's defining Christians as those who love God, lovers of God. I can accept that. I can accept that because people much smarter than me think that. And so I accept that. But I am going to tell you this. It is not an accident. It was with much forethought and omniscience in the complete intelligence of God, knowing all things, that He said to us, above all you ever do, my first commandment for you is you love me with everything you have got.
Beth is dedicated to encourage people to come to know and love Jesus Christ through the study of Scripture. Why wait? Click online today, like a podcast or television teaching or both. Just visit BethMoore.org. The free Living Proof app is a perfect tool to help you stay connected, encouraged, and in His Word with Beth. Download the free app today. Just search for Beth Moore in the App Store.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow, but sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hey, thank you very much for joining us today on MoneyWise Live. Rob West, your host. I'm Steve Moore, taking your calls and your questions at 800-525-7000. Let's go west a bit, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Gator, we appreciate your patience, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, the old adage is that a rising tide raises all ships.
Yes.
I'm heavily invested physically in silver, and it's getting to a point that it's a storage issue. And I'm wondering, my question is, should I take some of that and convert it to gold? It doesn't seem like I make as much when the market rises as I do with silver per ounce.
Yeah.
And that's kind of been a quandary in my mind of how do I do that, or what would be the wise thing to do?
Yeah. Well, Gator, it's a great question. So as you're probably well aware, silver prices have been going up steadily since March, I think now around $27 or so an ounce. Both gold and silver have attractive features. Gold is the better investment, though, for the average precious metals investor. It has, of course, a larger liquid market that's driven mostly by investment and jewelry demand. The price of gold is less volatile than that of silver, so that's a nice feature as well. Silver is going to be more speculative and really has a stronger relationship to economic activity, which obviously, as the economy has rebounded here following what became the quickest move from a bull market to a bear market and entering into a recession in history, we've come out of it rapidly as well, as it looked like perhaps the U.S. economy would recover quicker than many expected. Silver obviously has a lot of industrial uses as well. I think the key, though, is that given that it's more volatile, less liquid, I do like gold, both for diversification for you among the precious metals and for those reasons. I guess the question I would ask, though, Gator, is are you over-invested? Are you too highly concentrated in the precious metals? And is now a time, given the run-up in silver and given the what you already said, some of the storage issues, making sure it's secure, making sure you have enough place to keep it, you know, the physical possession of it, not to mention the markup on the sale as you go through dealers and so forth, is now the time perhaps to liquidate some of that and move into more traditional investments that would be perhaps a bit more diversified and where you wouldn't have these same storage issues and perhaps less volatility over time? So I know that's not quite what you were asking, so I guess I'm agreeing with you on the move to gold, but then I would add the second question back to you about perhaps it being a time to diversify your holdings. Tell me your thoughts.
Well, I'm buying every chance I get. And I have done real well with it. It's just I've been just very, very reluctant to go out and sell half of it. And I'm just wondering, is there a better way to invest than in gold? But I see both of those as a hedge against inflation. And believe it or not, I've got kind of a prepper mindset. I don't really know where our economy or our government is going.
Sure, sure. And I certainly get that. I guess the thing that I would look at is just, you know, we're taking on massive amounts of debt. I get that. You know, I'm not sure kind of where you're at on the whole monetary system and fiscal policy, but I would say we still, despite our debt here in the United States, we have a very strong consumer. We have the biggest economy in the world that's still very robust and thriving. There's not really, from my vantage point, any systemic issues out there. And so you're the steward and you need to make these decisions. I would make them prayerfully, but I just find at the end of the day, it's better to have a well-diversified portfolio. And I think right now you're obviously taking on a lot of volatility by continuing to add to your position. Perhaps one opportunity is just to hold where you're at and then any new dollars, either add them in gold, perhaps using an ETF, an exchange traded fund, where you don't take physical possession, or in a broad index, just to begin to diversify slowly away from the precious metals.
Gator, we're glad you called. We wish you the best as you work through that prayerfully. Thank you so much for calling us today. Here's our number, 800-525-7000. Ruth, Alicia, and Nicole, we're moving in your direction.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Hi, my name is Aaron, production assistant at Moody Radio. The Moody Radio Verse of the Week is found in Proverbs 4, 5-7. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. That's Proverbs 4, 5-7, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
One more reason why the ministry of Moody Radio is so important.
This may be the only opportunity somebody might have to hear the gospel. We know that the gospel will change lives, and so that's why it's important. We need changed lives that will follow Christ.
Your gift to Moody Radio helps listeners like this encounter the gospel through clear Bible teaching.
Call 1-800-DL-MOODY or visit moodyradio.org.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The National Hurricane Center projects that Laura will draw energy from warm Gulf waters and become a Category 3 hurricane before making landfall along the Gulf Coast late Wednesday or early Thursday, with winds of around 115 miles per hour. Officials urged evacuating people to stay with relatives or in hotel rooms to avoid spreading the virus that causes COVID-19. Day two of the RNC, First Lady Melania Trump set to give the night's marquee address from the Rose Garden of the White House. President Trump expected to make an appearance during primetime programming. Firefighters aided by weather and reinforcements hoping to continue their progress against California wildfires that have killed at least seven people in ravaged counties in the San Francisco Bay Area and wine country. Stocks finishing mixed, the Dow dropped 60 points, the NASDAQ ahead 86, and the S&P up a dozen. This is SRN News.
Thanks for being with us today. It's MoneyWise Live. We've got some calls lined up from Florida. Well, another one from Florida, and another one in Florida. So I guess we'll just start in Florida. Ruth, thank you so much for holding, and what's on your mind?
Thank you so much for taking my call, and I really appreciate your program.
Thank you.
My husband's health has become a concern. A couple of doctors told him he needs to settle down, and it's hard to put a good man down. So he's still working and intends to retire either February or June of 21. I am retired and receive a retirement benefit. In my panic after the doctor's visit, we visited our financial advisor, and he advised us to move our investments from stocks to mutual bonds. And I'm wondering if that was a wise move.
Have you already made any changes?
I'm sorry?
Have you already made any changes in your investment portfolio?
Other than what they advised. They moved our funds from the stocks to mutual bonds.
Okay, so they've already done that. Okay. Well, first of all, Ruth, I appreciate your call. I'm sorry to hear about your husband, but it sounds like if he's willing to make some of the changes the doctor recommended, we're going to just trust that the Lord will allow his health to improve, and you guys will be able to enjoy the fruit of your savings here and ask the Lord what he has in this next season for you. You know, I think it's always, I would caution you against making a lot of changes where you're reacting out of emotion. Obviously, coming out of a doctor's visit like that, there's all kinds of emotions going on, and perhaps even some questions, maybe even a bit of fear. And so that's not the time to be making a lot of changes, although I'm glad to hear you have counsel in the form of investment professionals, financial planners that can help weigh in on all of this. In terms of the investments that you have and the budget or lifestyle that you have, tell me about your retirement income. When your husband retires, are you planning to continue to work beyond that point, or will you retire as well sometime next year?
I am already retired and receiving a retirement benefit, yes.
Okay, very good.
Neither one of us has started Social Security benefits, but it was advised that perhaps I should start my benefits January of this upcoming year.
Okay, very good. And what will you all have in total retirement assets when he retires, roughly?
He has a 401k that he'll be bringing over. I think it has something like $230,000 in it.
Okay.
And our investments so far with the financial advisor are approximately $260,000.
Okay.
Our home is paid off, and it's valued at about at least $400,000.
Okay. And have you done a budget to look at what your expenses will be in retirement. I'm glad to hear your home is paid off, so that's going to keep your lifestyle as low as possible. But when you look at what it's going to take to fund all of your expenses, not only just the monthly bills, but the discretionary expenses and the non-recurring, have you really done that deep dive into the budget? And have you compared that to what you expect to receive in Social Security?
We have. I think our expenses right now, well, I get confused because, like, we have two car loans, and it was explained to me, okay, those car loans are going to go away, and I understand that. So that's, in my mind, that's an expense. Somebody else may consider it a debt. I get confused in that area. But basically, our expenses as of now are about a little less than $5,000 a month.
Okay, and what do you all expect to receive when you start claiming Social Security benefits?
I think combined, I think that's going to be close to $3,000.
Okay, around $3,000 a month. So you'll have a shortfall of about $2,000 a month. And obviously, if you paid off the car notes, that's going to reduce the total assets that you have, unless you can somehow sync up the paying off of those car notes with your retirement. But it's either going to go one way or the other. It's either going to be an expense that you need to factor in, or it's going to reduce the assets you have available to be income producing, because you'll have to withdraw something to pay off the car notes. In either case, it's probably a wash. You know, if we look at that roughly $500,000 that you'll have between your husband's 401k and what you've already got invested, and we were to typically look at around a 4% rate of return on that, where you have a mix of stocks and bonds. The stocks provide a little bit of extra return, and in the event the market's down, we let that ride. We don't pull from that. But in the average year, over a 10-year period, the stocks are going to add a bit more return, at least historically speaking, than the bonds will. And the bonds provide a more stable but a lower rate of return. You put all that together, and we generally use 4% as kind of the target there. So on a $500,000, we're talking about $20,000 a year. That's not quite going to get it done, because before taxes, that's about $1,633. So I think the key here is being able to match the budget with the resources that are available. And it sounds like, unless you're willing to start to eat into that $500,000 by pulling out a bit more than you're returning on an annual basis, which you would be by about $5,000 a year, according to what you just told me, then we've got to either downsize, perhaps sell the home, buy something a little less expensive, or find a way with part-time work or something else to create a little bit more income. But I think it's a good move, given how close you are to his retirement, for you not to be fully invested in stocks right now. I think you need to have a mix of stocks and bonds, but you need to be quickly moving toward determining what is it going to look like for you to dial back your spending to match the income that's available through Social Security and an income stream off of your investments. And ideally, you wouldn't be pulling more out than 4% a year, with the expectation that you wouldn't be eating into the principal, and that would be available for the future to both fund your retirement income, and if you needed something like long-term care or a major health expense, you know, you would have the principal that you could pull out of from at that point. Does that make sense, though?
Some of it, yes. That was a mouthful. Okay. And I appreciate all of it. I appreciate all of it.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
The question of part-time job, I'm totally agreeable with that. But will that put us in a what will that do to our taxes?
Well, you'll pay tax on that, but that's okay. As long as you reach full retirement age, it won't have any impact on your Social Security benefits. So I think the key is, again, let's go back to the budget. If $5,000 is the number, then we've got to find $5,000 in income. And all I'm saying is we've got to look at that $500,000, and I'd use that 4% rate of return, which is going to throw off about $20,000 a year. And so however much you're short, you either need to dial back your spending, or you need to find a way to increase your income through part-time work. You will have some taxes, but that's going to help you get there. Otherwise, we might need to make a harder decision, like selling the home or finding other ways to cut back. But if you need a second opinion, you could connect with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Florida. But we appreciate your call so much, Ruth, and thanks for listening.
We appreciate that. Thank you very much. We still have Alicia and Nicole and Faye on the line. We're going to try to get to you ladies just as quickly as we can. First, this mention, it's called the MoneyWise e-magazine. It's something new for us, something new for you. It's a quarterly publication designed to help you on your journey to true financial freedom. It'll contain, or it does contain, a special podcast between Rob and myself. There are articles and stories that will encourage you, inspire you, and challenge you to live victoriously within God's plan for your money, and much, much more. You might check it out today when you visit MoneyWiseLive.org, MoneyWiseLive.org. And we're going to be back with more calls right after this. Please stick around.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at MoneyWiseLive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand the urgency and how much fun it is to share your faith through the eyes of a layman. We have an election coming that will be the most important election in our history. Christian voters using their Bibles as their voter guide can be the deciding factor. We have the critical mass to do that if we all vote the same way for the same issues and same candidates. And there's no reason why we can't do that. It's not a personality contest, and it's not a Democrat versus Republican issue. It's about restoring America to being one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Fearing government reprisal, most of our pulpits have gone silent on political issues, leaving us without direction. Voting for godless issues and candidates who have made us a godless society. Enough is enough. We can easily change that. All it requires is that every Christian votes and only votes for issues and candidates that are in alignment with Scripture. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
Oh, waiter, waiter. Have you ever been at a restaurant for dinner and had bad service? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. You know, you plan a special night out, it's not cheap. The food's good, but the waiters, well, they're not making eye contact as they bustle through the restaurant. The salt shaker's empty, but you just can't get anyone's attention. So you have a choice. Go without salt or let your meal go cold while you wait. It's awful, isn't it? But I wonder if it isn't a sign of the times. These days, we're all so busy, we don't have the time to make eye contact. And then we wonder why dealing with other people is so hard. It's interesting. Jesus talked about that. He made the point that if we want to influence other people, then we need to serve them. I mean, it stands to reason. If someone's waiting for me or you to fill their salt shaker, they may not be too cooperative if they wait until their dinner's gone cold. Real influence happens when we serve other people. It's not rocket science.
Would you like your life to be infused with joy? Would you like to interject an eternal dimension into even the most ordinary day? Author Randy Alcorn says you can when you discover the Treasure Principle. In a concise, power-packed style, this newly revised and updated book offers a six-step plan to finding the immediate pleasure and eternal rewards of the Treasure Principle. And once you discover it, life will never look the same. The Treasure Principle is available when you click the store button at MoneyWiseLive.org.
I'm Steve Moore, and along with Rob West, we're here today taking your questions and providing biblical answers to the challenges you might be facing. It's a real pleasure and a joy to be with you. Let's go back to Florida, Tampa, WKES, and Alicia. Thanks for holding, and what's on your mind?
Hi, I was calling because I am a late 30-year-old something. I have two small children, 8 and a 5-year-old. I'm an educator, and I've been saving my money. So I have a retirement account that they match for me. I do fractional stocks, a piece of Amazon, piece of Baba. I have about $20,000 in my emergency fund, my bank account. However, I recently am widowed as well. And I moved in with my mom at the top of the pandemic. And I was wondering with all of that, like I have no credit card debt, like when is the right time to purchase a home? Should I purchase a home? Should I rent? Should I stay with my mom to continue saving money? Like I wasn't sure what next step to take. I would like to have a home because I grew up in a home and I would like to have my own home, but I want to make sure I'm making financially the right decision.
Yeah. Well, Alicia, it sounds like you're doing a tremendous job. You have a lot of responsibility as an educator. And by the way, thank you for the great work that you do day in and day out. You're a mom, obviously caring for your kids. Sounds like you've done a wonderful job managing God's money. You're out of debt. You've got savings in place. You've got some investments. You're funding your retirement account. I mean, that's all really good. And you even made the difficult decision. And yet I bet in some ways it's been a blessing to move in with your parents so you can save some money and help to navigate the pandemic that we find ourselves in. So, yeah, I think as you move forward, obviously this needs to be a matter of prayer. There's not necessarily a right or wrong decision. If you don't mind me asking, what age are your kids?
Okay, I have a 8 and a 2-year-old, and I also have prepaid Florida accounts for them as well.
Okay, great. Excellent. And so you are busy. Well, you know, I think the opportunity is this, you know, as you look at your priorities in light of your values, I think, you know, having that emergency fund is key. 3 to 6 months expenses. Being out of debt is key. You have both of those. Funding your retirement account is key. Thinking about major expenses that come up in the near to midterm, which is college for you. That's already paid for and funded. That's key. So now the home is kind of this next goal that's out there for you. And I think, you know, the way to gauge the timing on that is to say, when am I ready, both in terms of the down payment, because we would like for you to have 20% as a down payment. So for every $100,000 you want to spend, you'd need $20,000 in savings to put toward that. And the reason is that's going to avoid private mortgage insurance, which is an expense that does nothing for you. It's only for the benefit of the lender. And it's going to make sure you have some equity in the home. So if we were to hit a housing market downturn, you wouldn't find yourself ever in a position where you're upside down. But I realize that's a significant amount of money. If you want to buy a couple $100,000 home, you're going to need $40,000, and that's not easy to come by. So I think it's really praying through, how are my kids doing in this environment? Is this the place for us to be? Because you can save the money more quickly. And so maybe you say, I'm going to stay here for another year, and I have a plan to keep my expenses as low as possible so I can, you know, build up that 20 or 30 or 40,000, whatever it is, much quicker. Or do I really need to have a place of my own? And I feel like it's going to be better for me and for the kids. And maybe I'm still close to my parents, but, you know, we have our own territory. And because of that, it might take a little bit longer to save, but I wouldn't feel bad about renting, because the key is that you continue on this path where you have a strong financial foundation under you, which you absolutely do right now because you've done such a great job. Even if it doesn't mean you have that home that you are working on owning, that you own, but you're, you know, paying it off through the mortgage, even if you wait on that for some period of time. So that's really a balancing act. But I think that's probably the next priority that you ought to begin working toward. And the decision for you at this point is, do we try to fast track that and stay right where you are? Or do you go ahead and move out in the appropriate timing and rent and save a little bit slower, but have a place of your own? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And it was very helpful advice. Thank you so much.
Okay. God bless you, Alicia. And congratulations on the great job you're doing.
You certainly are, Alicia. God bless you. Thanks. Let's stay in Florida. This time it's Lakeland. And Nicole, what's your question for Rob?
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm 39 years old, and I listen to your program a couple times a week. I'm calling to inquire about like investing advice. I have a 401k currently, 401k IRA, so I have life insurance, term life and whole life. Really not in a lot of debt other than my student loans, and I have 2 credit cards with small balances, like $500, and I make monthly payments and I have a car payment.
Okay. All right. And so what is your main question at this point, Nicole? What are you wrestling with?
Like, is there anything else you think I should be investing in? I've been looking at a couple online trading accounts. I'm just trying to educate myself on other options, even if it's only like $20 or $30 a month.
Yeah, for sure. How much do you know what percent of your income is going into your 401k every month?
If I'm correct, I think it's 8%.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, I think the ideal situation for you in terms of long-term investments would be to get that up to 10 to 15% if you can over time, with the other priorities in mind. I mean, I'd rather you be completely out of credit card debt first. I'd love for you to have 3 to 6 months expenses in that emergency savings in a liquid savings account. Could be an online savings linked to your checking, paying a little interest, but it's still in a liquid savings account so you can get to it if you need it. I'm glad to hear you have insurance. Make sure you have enough. I would say 10 to 12 times your income at a minimum. And the way to make sure you have enough is by ensuring that you have term insurance, which is just buying the pure insurance, not linking it with any kind of savings account through whole life. As you move forward, though, those are really kind of the priorities alongside any giving that you're doing on a systematic basis. With additional money, I'd be just continuing to put that on a tax-deferred basis into the 401k so that that money is growing for you without the drag of the taxes. And with that, I'd be invested almost exclusively in stocks with 39 years old. If you wanted to use a target date fund, you could use a 2045 or a 2050 target date fund, which is, when you'll be 65, would be 2046. So it'll be really on the more aggressive side with a high concentration of stocks, very little in bonds, because you've got so much time. I mean, we're talking 25 or 30 years here before, you would be thinking about retiring. And so you've got a lot of time for this money to be working toward you, for you. Let me do this, because it sounds like you want to continue to learn and grow in this area. I want to send you a copy of Austin Pryor's book, The Sound Mind Investing Handbook. So if you'll stay on the line, we'll get that out to you. I think that'll be a real blessing as you continue to educate yourself in God's way of investing.
And Nicole, if you don't mind me mentioning it, I try to dump that $500 a month credit card payment. I think you said $500 a month. I mean, that's interest that's continuing to grow and accrue its compound interest. And we don't want you to get used to paying $500 a month. We'd like you to get that down to zero just as quickly as you can. And with that, we'll let you go and say thank you. We appreciate that. Up to Syracuse, New York. Hello, Tom. We have just a couple of minutes. Let's squeeze it in.
Sure, great. Hey, thanks for taking my call. We've got some home improvement projects that we want to do, mainly outdoors, a driveway, patio, some things like that. Up to this point, our house is paid for. We've been able to pay for the interior upgrades, with cash flow from income. But right now we're not able to afford a driveway, say that's going to be $15,000. We can, however, afford, say, probably a $400 a month payment if we were to get a loan. So the question is, what would be your advice as to the best way to pay for some of these larger expenses?
Yeah. Well, if, as long as you factor it into the budget and you're making smart moves on the things that you need, either because they're going to be of value to you as you just improve the home that you're living in, or that you feel like that they're also going to improve the value of the home itself. And you've gone back to that budget, you've made sure that you can actually absorb that payment, and you have a plan to pay it off as quickly as you can. There's nothing wrong with borrowing to improve your home if you've got the equity. I would prefer a home equity loan, Tom, over a home equity line of credit, primarily because you can secure a fixed low interest rate with a fixed monthly payment, a fixed repayment schedule, as opposed to a line of credit, which is going to have a variable rate that can change with the whims of the market. And oftentimes, it doesn't have to be this way, but oftentimes while the loan is open during what's called the draw period, you're just paying interest only. You're not actually making progress in paying it back. And then at some point, it'll close. And then at that point, it's usually, you know, the repayment period will be somewhere between 10 and 20 years. Obviously, a benefit of the home equity loan is you only pay the interest on what you take out, so you can take it as you need it. But typically with a project like this, you would know what you need up front. You could get the amount that you need as little as possible. Go ahead and get the proceeds paid out to you in full, and that way you'd have them available as you need to pay the contractors. So, you know, rates are obviously very low right now, not anywhere near as low as first mortgage rates, but you're still going to find low rates. I'd shop around because you should be able to find a loan that doesn't require a lot of fees or upfront expenses, and bankrate.com would be a place to go to check that out.
Tom, we're going to have to let you go. We're out of time, but we're glad, after talking to a lot of Florida callers today down there where it's 109, talking to you up in Syracuse cools us off a bit, and we appreciate your call today. God bless you. Thanks so much. And with that, Rob, thanks very much. We'll come back tomorrow and do it again, okay?
Sounds good.
And you can find more about who we are, what we do, and some free resources at moneywisealive.org and moneywiselive.org. Join us tomorrow.